Amen. Well, Micah chapter 7, you'll go ahead and be turning there. We'll be in the book of Micah chapter 7. While you're turning there, I'd like to take a moment just to thank Pastor Broyhill for the opportunity to preach in my favorite preacher's pulpit. And I'm so thankful for our pastor for his faithful teaching and preaching in the college, the church. And if there's one thing that I've learned about our pastor and the years I've got to be around him through both the college and the church is just that he loves this church, he loves you, he loves his people, and he has a heart for you. And I'm so thankful for that, that I can be mentored by him and look towards that heart and see that. But I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for this church and how you've had an investment in our life, especially during the hardest time in our lives when my wife Tabitha was sick. And you loved us, you cared for us, you supported us, prayed for us, cried with us, and you did so much for us. And we're so thankful. We just crossed 2 years, and Tabitha's doing better, so we're so thankful for that. And we praise God for his faithfulness through it all. Micah chapter 7, and we will begin in verse 1. The Bible says, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands. Earnestly the prince asketh, and the judge asketh for reward. The great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Verse 7. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Amen. The book of Micah is an abstract or a summary of sorts of messages that Micah preached to the nation of Israel in Jerusalem and Samaria. In this little book, Micah is acting as a mouthpiece for God, and his purpose is twofold. First, he seeks to convince sinners of their sin, and you'll notice that he doesn't leave anyone out. He boldly confronts the sins of rulers, princes, judges, and the common people, and warns of the destruction and captivity to come. But our wonderful God doesn't leave it there. His second purpose is to promise a future hope and deliverance and mercy. And when we arrive at our text for this evening in Micah 7, he starts by saying, "Woe is me." Micah had some concerns in his life, did he not? Micah lived in wicked times, far more wicked than the days that we live in today. However, through this little book, God has something he wants us to know. And he wants you tonight, Christian, to know that regardless of the culture around you, God is faithful. And like Micah, we can look to him. So tonight, let us turn our affections and our attention toward the scriptures and learn from Micah about who to look to in a wicked culture. Let's pray. Lord, I'm indeed grateful and thankful for this opportunity to open your word and preach it, Lord. I just pray that you'll empower your word and help us tonight. Lord, I pray that I'm a blessing to your people, to your church. Again, bless our pastor, and thank you again for the opportunity. We love you, and we praise you above all. In Christ's name, amen. Let us first observe the culture that Micah was living in. We'll go through the first six verses here quickly. He says in verse 1 near the end, he says, "There's no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. Micah is seeking something good. His soul is desiring after righteousness, but he can find none. In verse 2, he elaborates, "The good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men." There seemed to be no one righteous in the world, as if they had all died off, and what's left is nothing but vile people. At the end of verse 2, they all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Every man that he would know or come in contact with is seeking opportunity for wickedness, eagerly waiting to engage in violence and all forms of evil. Look at verse 3 with me. They that may do evil with both hands earnestly, the prince asketh, and the judge asketh for reward. Even the rulers, the legal magistrates, who would they would be looking for bribes. They were the ones that were supposed to be keeping the law, and yet they have put themselves on the market for sale, as it was. At the end of verse 3, the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. People of wealth, stature, popular in the community, they had these evil desires in their hearts, and it brought no shame to them to speak it outright in the crowds for people. Verse 4, the best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The very best, the most upright that is even there that they can find in all the land is described as an entangling sharp hedge that would wound and damage whoever would come, whoever would be unfortunate enough to be in contact with them. Verses 5 and 6, they can't trust the people even closest to them. He says, trust ye not in a friend. After that, in the verse, he says, you can't even trust your wife. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter is against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And listen to this. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. So how many here tonight would be signing up to move in with Micah into this culture? I know I wouldn't want to live there in this time and in this situation. Micah is certainly living in a culture that's going to bring great concern into his life. And it seems that anybody that Micah would come into contact with is going to be against him and opposed to his message. And today, Christian, we have concern as well. We know that this is a wicked world that we live in, and people celebrate evil and hate righteousness. All you have to do is turn on the news. All you have to do is select your favorite social media and open it up and look at it, and you're going to see that we're in troubling times. So what do we do? Surrounded by wickedness, where do we look? Who do we turn to? Well, Micah is going to tell us tonight. Let's see Micah's response to the wickedness around him. We saw the culture he lives in. Now let's look at his response. Verse 7, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Micah had the correct response in this situation. He says, therefore, because of all of this that I've just described to you, because of all this wickedness and the things I get to look around in the world, and I see all this turmoil and problems, therefore, what will I do? I will look unto the Lord. Micah looked to the Lord. The word look here in our text means to keep watch or to observe. No, this is not some passing glance that he had, a quick look and look away. No, he's keeping watch. He's looking around. I love how the definition uses that word observe. He looks at the character of God and he observes it. He compares it to the culture he sees around him, and it's such a difference, such a separate thing from the culture, such light and darkness. And friend, tonight you may have dragged yourself into this place, beaten down by the world. You spent this week in a godless workplace that's attempted to draw you from the things of the Lord. People don't care that you have to hear their profanities. They don't care if they display their vileness in front of you. They don't care if they blaspheme your God, and you're so sick and tired of it. And tonight, like Micah, we need to respond the right way by looking unto the Lord. Therefore, because of my culture, I will look unto the Lord. While the culture is engrossed in complete evil, God's character is and always will be completely holy. Amen. Not only did he look to the Lord, but he waited on the Lord. I will wait, in the second part of verse 7, I will wait for the God of my salvation. The word wait, to hope, to expect. Micah's hope is not in some weak or feeble little g God. No, the name that he used for God is the supreme title of Creator God, God of all, almighty, powerful, capable God. He says, God of my salvation. He knew that the only source that could provide this salvation is the Lord, and it's going to come in his timing. I will wait for the God of my salvation. The word wait also bears the meaning of expectation. His hope was placed in the one he could expect a response from, for he is faithful. And friend, remember, his ways are always higher than our ways. His thoughts are far above our thoughts, and his timing is always perfect according to his will. We've seen the culture that Micah, that was around Micah that he lived in. We've seen Micah's response to that culture. And now my favorite part, let's look at God's provision for Micah. End of verse 7, he says, my God will hear me. Amen. We're also going to look into verse 8 and verse 9 here. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. The provisions he gives to Micah are the same that he will give to you. My God will hear me. Psalms 34 and verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. What an encouragement to know that our God, God Almighty, Creator God, hears us. When I fall, I shall arise. Psalm 37 and 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We may fall, but we're not utterly cast down, are we? In his strength we can rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Desolate in darkness, not knowing where to go or what to do, he will guide us. When the world around us is full of darkness, God is light. He will plead my cause and execute judgment for me. Micah's cause was the Lord's cause, and ultimately the Lord will pass judgment on those who oppose himself. He will bring me forth to the light. He won't leave you abandoned in the darkness. Before, we talked about in verse 8, he said, when I sit in darkness, that word sit means to abide in the darkness, to remain there. And praise God, he won't leave us there. He will bring me forth to the light. I shall behold his righteousness. He says, I will see the performance of his promises to me. Micah is confident. He knows that God is a faithful God and he will keep his promises. God is faithful. He is the provision that you need. He hears you crying out to him. He will strengthen us when we fall. He will be a light in darkness. He pleads and executes judgment for you. He is the one that can bring you out of darkness. And Christian, one day, we shall behold his righteousness. And if we look to him and wait on him, that is his provision. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. What a God we get to serve. Micah could trust in the faithfulness of God to provide for him in the wicked society that was around him. And so can we today. You have the same access to the same God that Micah did. And can I ask you one question tonight? Are you worried about the day you live in? Do you have stress and anxiety not knowing what the future holds in the culture that surrounds you? Certainly anybody here with children tonight would understand a little bit of stress and anxiety, especially with what's going on in our education system. Like Micah, can you too say, woe is me? I know I have at times. Take a note from the book of Micah tonight. Look unto the Lord. Wait upon the God of your salvation. After all, we've trusted him for salvation, right? Can't we trust him with the rest? Can we trust him to be our provision in an evil culture? Let's pray together. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. And I'm so thankful for how it's worked in my life, Lord. I sure love you, Lord. And I'm so, again, grateful for all you've done for me. Thank you for saving my soul and teaching us from Micah tonight, Lord. I pray that you be glorified in all that takes place. We love you and we praise you above all. In Christ's name.